Thankful for this little time we have. If I had a flip chart down there, I'd probably stand down there this evening, but maybe we'll use the board, work together a little bit. I have written on the board, it's all kind of jumbled together because I'm trying to keep a little open space. The thought this evening is good leaven in practice. So a few Sundays ago, we spent some time together talking about good leaven. The Bible often speaks of leaven that isn't the most pleasant kind of leaven. And we spent some time on that last Sunday maybe. But we also spent some time on good leaven. And how that a little bit of something good that we are willing to give, the loaves and the fishes, say we have loaves and fishes, if we are willing to give what we have, in math this is a variable called X, and we're going to, by the help of the Lord this evening, we're going to define some X's. That when we take those things and we add them with some leaven, willing obedience and faith, and add them to the power of God, this combination has a way of meeting the need of the moment. And I believe that the Word of God has practical application that filters into every area of our life. And that the Word of God was not intended to be something that we would go and read about in a corner somewhere and mull it over, and then go out and live life and it be completely separate. But I believe that the Word of the Lord was intended to be something that became a light, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that changes how we live our lives. It has practical application in every area of our life. So we spent some time on the concept, if you will, of how a little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I can already tell we're going to run out of time really fast. Let's real quickly review what is leaven. Somebody help us out. What is leaven? Does it take a lot of leaven to have much effect? A little bit of leaven. What does leaven do? Okay. Leaven drives change. It can behave like a catalyst behaves, where you put a little bit in, and all of a sudden, and it's not totally apples to apples to a catalyst, but it's similar, where you put a little bit in and the result is much larger than the seemingly small amount that you put in. And so the little boy on the hillside that had just a little bit of food and a great multitude of people, and Jesus said, "Does anybody here have anything?" Well, looks around, it could have been easy, just nobody has anything for this, and that was that. But somebody says, "Well, wait a minute, I've got something." And that little something, that X, the loaves and the fishes that day, was added in faith that Jesus could do something with it. I believe that's part of the lesson that the Lord would have us get out of that. It was given willingly, and it was added to the power of God, and that combination resulted in meeting the need of the hour. A little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole lump. a little bit of something powerful, a little bit of something that is powerful, and it is powerful by way of willing obedience and faith, added to the power of God, which is not small, but a little bit of something that we have, added in faith, can powerfully change much. But you know what we're taught in this? It seems like in life out there, if it's a little bit, then that's what you have, is just a little bit. If you want a lot, then you need to go generate a whole lot of something for it to amount to something. But with God, God just says, bring me the little bit that you have. Don't bury it. Don't bury the single talent. Sometimes we say, well, that's not me. I wasn't given talent in those areas. Well, you might not have been. Maybe you were given a half a talent. Give your half a talent. You know what the Lord can do with the half a talent? He can give the increase and meet the need of the hour. The Lord isn't passing by, and He doesn't look at us and say, well, I don't know, Sister Janet, what you have is just, you're just offering just a half a piece of fish, and I need something a whole lot more than that. I'm going to go look for something else. He just wants you to give what you have in faith that He can give the increase. And so that's a short little review. But in practice, in life, you see, the Lord wants us to be able to go out the back door. And He wants us to be able to take the Word of the Lord and have it applied to our lives in such a way that it makes a difference out into the world. And the difference comes from us taking what we have, however small it is, and being willing to offer it up. And then trusting in the power of God to do something with it, as opposed to looking at the great need and saying, well, what I have isn't going to make a difference. Did you know that we can reason ourselves out of almost everything that we face in life when there's a need, because we feel like what I have doesn't matter? And yet the Great Commission is for all of us to go out into the world and be a light that shines in a way that people see our good works, whatever it is that we have to offer, but they see it in a way that glorifies God. Why is that? Because if we are willing to be a light in a way that, Lord, I'll be an empty vessel. Lord, whatever it is that You've given me, the best that I know how, I'll give it back. I'll offer it up. I'll put it on the table. And I'll trust in the power of God that You will take that and meet the need. And there's practical application of that in life that the Lord wants us to capture a vision of, so that coming here to these four walls is not just about coming into a chapel and having worship service and then going about our lives, and then nothing happens so much with what happens in these four walls except maybe what we feel like is happening in our own lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord wants us to take the fuel, if I can say it that way, the allow the Lord to work with us when we come apart and we give some dedicated time to Him, so that we can go out into the world and take it and let the Lord use how He's dealing with our hearts and let it translate into meeting the need of the hour. And again, there's practical application of that. So I'd like us, the few minutes that we have tonight, to work together a little bit, to open our minds, and explore what are some of the things that maybe if we would be willing to take what we have and put it here, willingly and in faith in the power of God, that could turn into something really good. There's no right or wrong answer. We could view this evening as stirring up our minds a little bit and maybe capture some nuggets of good that we can take with us as ideas and increase our faith. So I'll start to break the ice. There's a scripture that says a word fitly spoken. What did it say that words fitly spoken were as? Okay. So Brother Bob was thinking about the scripture that says that words fitly spoken, what did you say they were like? Something really good. A word fitly spoken. Is anybody here able to say a word? I think we're not a problem. Okay. I think we're able to say a word. Well, there's something that goes along with that. A word fitly spoken. We can pray to the Lord and ask Him to help us say a word that is fitly spoken. It doesn't take very long. But sometimes, if we're willing to say a word in the inspiration of Jesus Christ, a word, X equals a word fitly spoken, that the Lord can take that and meet the need in a way that you never would have dreamed. When I was a young person, you know, I received a lot of instruction in the home, and of course that's where most of it came from. But you know, in life, a lot of times there's somebody or maybe a couple of people that were very influential in your life. Brother Adriel Bowman was very influential in my life as a teenager. And he had no idea. He had no idea. One day, I had something that was bothering me as a teenager, and I was talking to him about it, and he said, you know, and Brother Adriel was a quiet, stable, consistent type of person. And he said, you know, he said, sometimes he says there's going to be people that are going to kind of be up here, and they're going to be riding the tops and pushing and promoting, and in so many words is what he said. And they're going to be up here, and other people, he said, they're going to be down here. He said, what you need to do, he said, you need to find that place. You need to find that stable, balanced place. And he said, you just need to stay right there and you just keep going. That's it. He had no idea that I would be repeating it some 40 years later. It met the need. And I thought about it many times since then. Another time he told me when I was a teenager, he said, I might have been in my late teenage years, maybe. I wasn't in my 20s yet. He said, when you get out into the workforce, he said, you'll get a job and you make money, pay the bills. He said, but one of these days, he said, the phone's going to ring, and he said, you'll have an opportunity to get a better job with much better pay. But the only problem with it is, he said, you're going to have to move to Timbuktu. You're going to have to move away from all the people of God. You're going to have to move away from where God wanted you. And he looked at me and he said, don't do it. Don't do it. That's it. That's all he said. It took all of 5 minutes. He had no idea what that would mean. A word fitly spoken. Can't we do that? What else comes to your mind? Word of our testimony. Have you ever heard somebody testify? Doesn't have to be in here. Can be one-on-one. Can be on the street corner. Can be in your home. Can be on a card that you send in the mail. Have you ever heard somebody give a little testimony of something and they go away and you begin to digest that and it is just exactly what you needed. It met the need. And they might have just thought it was just something small. Have you ever been there? Don't diminish the word of your testimony. And that goes multiple ways. They were saved by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, Scripture says. What else? Say again. Time. You want to expand on that, Brother Shane? Are you talking about like weeks and months and years of time given to somebody? No. Just a little bit of time? Do we have time? Haven't we all been given the same amount of time? Have you ever had somebody, am I getting ahead of you? Have you ever had somebody pause and focus their eyes, their attention, giving you a little bit of special time and interest? That's all. It's a little bit. A little bit of time. And have had it made a profound effect, met the need, and all it was a little bit of time. We all have it. All of us here tonight were given the same amount of time every day. Good. What else? All right, receive. Properly. And if I mess this up, then correct me. Do you know that there is, there can be right and wrong ways, as Brother Burt so aptly pointed out, to receive. Did you know that people, sometimes the greatest blessings that we get are in giving? But have you ever tried to give something to get a blessing out of it, and the receiver, they didn't act appreciative, they didn't know how to say thank you, maybe they refused it. Oh, no, I don't want to do that to you. No, you keep that. I think we all have to learn how to be receivers, not just givers. We have to learn how to be receivers. Can't we all receive? If somebody offers us a little bit of time, can we receive the time? Isn't that within our ability to do? Can't words of testimony, words fitly spoken by somebody else, can't we ask the Lord to help us know how to receive it properly so that we can go away with the blessing, but so can the people that gave it? Very good. What else comes to your mind? Yes.
And Lord help us in either direction to do it in a way that both parties are blessed with and the Lord's pleased with.
Yes, and the Lord's pleased with it.
Because sometimes we can get it in a way, in a controlling type way, where we're wanting the attention and we got something to edit.
Yes.
But like you brought up, our reception needs to be such that I know sometimes it's easy to say, you know, thinking about who's trying to maybe give you something, they might be somebody in worse need than you are. But yet, when you consider that the Lord told them good, and we want them to receive their blessings. So there's a
Way to receive and a way to give. Amen. That is so, so important to be in God's timing. We probably all this evening could look back and remember a time where we felt maybe particularly low or in need of encouragement. And right at that time, as Sister Janae brought out, here comes a card in the mail. Here comes a phone call. Word of encouragement. And yet, if we were to have blown over being sensitive to living, as Sister Andrea's mom often teaches, by inspiration, we can miss it. Timing is important. Can't we all pray and ask the Lord to help us live by inspiration and hear the voice of the Spirit? And when we can't We can't touch the multitudes that we're not around. But we can touch a few. And when the Lord puts it on our heart, put somebody on your heart that maybe you haven't been thinking about. And somebody keeps coming to your mind in prayer or throughout the day, don't neglect being sensitive to the prompt. The Holy Spirit's real. It's real. It's not just an idea. Thoughts that we have are not just always coincidence and accident and just because I was doing this and then I remembered that. When we live with a life that includes prayer before God with an open heart, and we invite His Spirit to come in our lives, He can speak to us. And when we're willing to make that phone call, can we all operate a phone in here? I think we can. I think we do. Can we ask the Lord, of all the things that we do with our phone, all the time that we spend on our phone, and you know, a lot of times it's easy to talk about all the things that aren't good that can be associated with our phones. Did you know that we can use them as an instrument for good? Could we ask the Lord, Lord, would you help inspire me to know how to reach out? Maybe there's somebody that needs to be touched today. Can we all do that? We can, can't we? A card in season, a phone call, a text. I remember more than one occasion being in a place where we're in a place of decision and seemingly mountains ahead of us. And would you know it, we went out to the mailbox and there was a card right then that somehow ended up in our mailbox right at that time when nobody else, to our knowledge, knew exactly what we were feeling at that time. These things are the X. And they're given willingly in faith, believing in the power of the Lord, that He knows how to take the little bit that we give to meet the need of the hour. None of us are excluded from this. All of these things, all of these X's, every single one of us that are here tonight can do. Does anyone else have something on your heart that you want to share? Yes. Yes. Did everybody get that? I'm going to paraphrase in case you didn't hear. be willing to give this, X, whatever the prompting is, be willing to give it and understand that you may never understand at all whether or not you met any need. That is part of this leaven, this part of giving it in faith, that the Lord knows what to do with it when we don't know what to do with it. And sometimes we cast our bread upon the water and we don't know where it's going to go. We don't know how it may have an effect. And don't give with the expectation that you're going to understand whether or not it met the need. Because if, as Sister Andrea said, we're such a results-oriented, live in such a result-oriented world. And what we like to do as people is we like to say, all right, I'm going to give this piece right here, and I'm going to give it in faith, and I'm going to trust the power of God, and I want to see what happens. And if we don't see what happens, and it doesn't look like anything was done, then you know what we're likely, you know what we're apt to do? We're apt not to do this anymore. Say, well, that's what I thought. I didn't think I had anything that was worth giving. I didn't think I could make a difference. Let's be encouraged and challenged with this point that was made. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good, and it may be that you never know on this side of eternity whether either one of them prospered. Don't let that keep you from giving. Three of the most difficult words to say in the English language. I am sorry. I was wrong. I was wrong. Do you know that sometimes in life we can do things or we can hurt people? We can act in a way that's carnal. Sometimes we know that we did, and other times we find out later that what we did was hurtful, but we didn't mean to. And it's really easy sometimes to justify our actions in a way that doesn't cause us to ever feel so inclined to go back and say, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was wrong. And sometimes, right, wrong, or indifferent, this is how we are as humans. That people can be hurt by things that we do, things that we say, things that we don't do, ways that we act, maybe things that we say that we ourselves regret later, and yet we said it. And the receiving party can take those things and there can be a lot of hurt that those words and those actions can go through and infiltrate lives for a long time. May God help us recognize that if we are willing to humble ourselves down when we recognize that we did something and we were wrong, and we hurt somebody, that we don't just say, oh, I'm sorry, check, because words can be really cheap. I'm not speaking of just saying the words, I'm sorry. Well, I told them I was sorry. But if we've hurt somebody, if we've done something to offend somebody, and we know it has caused hurt, we know we were wrong, it's really easy to say, it's just three words, it's not a big deal, there's no reason that I need to say that. Ask the Lord what He would have you to do. The Scripture tells us what to do. If we know that we've offended our brother, leave your sacrifice at the altar and go be reconciled. And then come back to the altar. See, these things have a way of getting in between our relationship with ourselves and God when we knowingly allow things to be out there. And we can say, well, what does it matter? Words don't mean anything. I could say I'm sorry, but, you know, and we minimize this. But if we'll pray and we ask the Lord throughout the journey of our life, Lord, I feel like there's something I need to make right. Lord, I don't know how I personally can meet their need or correct, and maybe we can't. But Father, I'm willing to do my part. And I'm gonna humble myself, and in faith, I'm going to willingly do what I can, even though I can't undo it. I'll do what I can do. And I'm going to trust in your power and your spirit and your kindness to help meet the need in somebody's life. We are virtually out of time. I would like to close with this. In the fifth chapter of Galatians, I'm going to read a couple of verses. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. When you read that, does anybody here ever feel like you haven't arrived? Or is that just me? But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and temperance. And I think sometimes we can read that and we can recognize that we still are in need of help from the Lord. That we haven't arrived in each of these areas. But here's what I would like to encourage you with tonight in closing, that if we will be willing to take whatever little bit of love we do have and extend it in faith. Maybe there's a whole lot of it we feel like we don't have and that we need to grow. But if we'll take the little bit that we feel like we do have in whatever area it may be of your life, with somebody, a situation, a cause, whatever it is, and we give it. When we give what we do have, the Lord has a way of giving back more than what we had when we gave. You want more love? Share the love that you have. The same with all of these. Joy. So I'm not a joyful person, one might say. Take the little bit of joy that you can find and muster. And say, Lord, I want to focus on that. Would you help give the increase? I'm going to take this little bit of joy. This little bit of faith. Lord, I feel like I'm not a person of faith. Lord, I'm struggling. Well, what do you have faith in relative to the Lord and His Word? Exercise that in faith and in the power of God. And the Lord has a way of taking what we give. The fruit of the Spirit, the little bit that He gives us, as we begin to exercise it in faith, the Lord has a way of increasing all of these attributes in our lives if we'll be willing not to bury it, but to give it. If we will exercise the grace that God has given us, however small in our lives, the Lord has a way of helping that grace become a greater part of who we are as a person, and able to bear more fruit. Lord, help us, don't know how to practically apply being Christians, being willing to give the little bit that we have and allow it to be leaven, that when given, has a way of affecting the whole by the power of the Lord. None of us are left out. Let's go away challenged to ask the Lord to help us know how we can better be a light to the world. Amen.